So today we had on our guest, Dr. Christina Weimer from Improvement by Movement. She's a independent physical therapy practitioner. And one of the things I thought was interesting while we kind of had her on was she has basically developed a virtual physical therapy practice. And I really wanted to understand what that was about. How in the world can you do physical therapy virtually? Because any physical therapy I've had has been hands-on in a, you know, in a facility usually, although they'll give you stuff to take home. But it was really interesting to hear her talk about that. And I thought she did a nice job of laying out successes, examples of how her being able to see the environment where the patient is going to live and do these exercises is very helpful rather than just guessing. And I thought the way she approaches that is really, really fascinating. Hopefully you thought the same thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's what I just think is so interesting is it doesn't have to always just be this cookie cutter kind of thing. Like you have to go into a physical therapist's office. And Christina showed us how using a virtual method is really beneficial. She said that she's been pairing up with a team of doctors in Florida who can help physical therapists like herself who are out on their own and is a great resource for her. And how they have companies are able to save up to 25% on their health insurance.
Well, on their time
and getting back to the workplace.
Yeah, for a workers like a workers' comp claim.
Yeah.
I'll fix that in the edit.
So I found it really interesting to be able to do that, and like you said, just a completely different form of, to me, and of healthcare, and in a much more intimate setting. So I think there's some great examples that Christina gives us, and some practical patients that she's worked with. So stay tuned and give it a shot.
I agree. I think everybody's going to enjoy this one. So today we are joined by Christina Weimer. And Christina has started a virtual physical therapy practice called Improvement by Movement, right?
That's right. Yep.
And this sounded very interesting to David and I, so we wanted to have you on to talk about how all that works. So if you wouldn't mind, maybe go ahead and introduce yourself, your education background, how you got where you are, and then we'll dive into some of what you got going on.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, thank you for having me. I feel very honored to be here. So, yeah, I'm a physical therapist, graduated from undergraduate in 2009 from James Madison, got a master's there as well in biology in 2011 is when I graduated there. Went straight to PT school at Shenandoah University and graduated there in 2014. Started working, got more training in a specific area called mechanical diagnosis and therapy, and got my certification in that in 2018, which if you relate it to like a doctor's residency, I would say it's maybe a step down from a PT type residency. So it is a process to become trained and certified and take the exam and all. So. That's a bit about my education.
Wow. That's a long time.
it was a lot of schooling.
Yeah.
9 years was quite a bit. I was ready to be out of school by then.
I can't even imagine. I thought I went to school for a long time.
So what did you start doing right after school? Where did you start working or applying some of this?
Yeah. I started working at a private practice in Martinsburg, West Virginia.
Okay.
Worked there for about 4 years and transitioned to Valley Health, where I was working at all of their clinics, not only outpatient clinics, but the inpatient clinics as well. Not clinics, the hospitals, doing inpatient care, which is almost a different profession than the outpatient physical therapy. The kind of the purpose is so different, but fun and rewarding as well. But,
good. Mm-hmm. So now you've gone off on your own and you started a practice, and I've looked at a couple of your Instagram videos where you're kind of posting like things you can do like on your own.
Yeah.
So you called it a virtual physical therapy practice, which again, I think I wrote you in the question earlier, is like, that seems like an oxymoron.
Yeah.
I know David's probably had physical therapy and I have too from a variety of injuries. So just curious how that, maybe you can lay out how that works.
Yeah. Right. So, it does, it sounds a bit odd that, you know, you're supposed to be hands-on, right? You're supposed to have equipment and do things. But if you think about it, you've got in 7 days, you've got 165, hours that you're not in PT. and you got 2 to 3 hours a week that you're in PT. The time that you're not in PT and what you're doing to your body or avoiding to prevent it from getting worse, and self-treatments are what gets you better way more than the couple hours a week that you spend in PT. So the idea and what I do and specialize in is teaching people what they need to do to themselves to get better on a daily basis, not even just daily, but multiple times per day. And it does depend on their diagnosis. And because they can administer self-treatments as opposed to waiting to see me, they get better faster. So it actually is a forum that works in some ways better.
Do you have any common examples or things that you kind of see? And then maybe what are some solutions that somebody, like injuries on the job that you see?
So I would say I specialize in backs. I see a lot of backs, low backs. I see a lot of necks, shoulders and hips too. So I would say top example I can think of right now is somebody that's a desk worker. And the longer that this person sits, the more pain and stiff they get in their back. And so, you know, it's postural related, and that person needed to do an exercise 8 times a day for 2 weeks. Pain's gone, stays gone, doesn't come back.
So are you focused first on pain management, or do you focus on fixing the structural issue, or do those things go hand in hand?
That's a good question. They go hand in hand. And the first 2 or 3 visits, I always tell my patients, look, I'm not going to tell you that my first goal is not to fix you. My first goal is to mechanically figure you out. I would have been a great car mechanic. My brain is so mechanical. Okay. And while we talk and we have, we're just mechanical beings at the end of the day. We're talking mechanical structures. And we understand a lot about the body's mechanics. And so my first goal is to figure out the problem mechanically. Why is the pain there? What is the source of the pain? What structure's at fault? Where's the lesion? And then once I have that pretty well understood, treatment follows suit, which oftentimes I can treat that and help them. My mechanical process diagnostic testing leads me to classify the patient as to 1 of 3 things. They're either a rapid responder, which is actually a large percent of the population, believe it or not. A lot of people with the right movements can get better quite quickly, and we're talking 2 to 3 weeks with the right treatment or the right exercise and the patient being, of course, compliant with the frequency. Then the second category is a non-rapid responder, but still a responder. And so that's more of a, the tissue has to remodel, takes time to do that sort of thing. And then the third category is I can't help them. And if I can't help them, I direct them to who they can be helped by. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it's really interesting in that whole aspect that most people will respond and get better within, what is it, 1 to 2 weeks. So it can work pretty quickly.
Right.
Just knowing kind of which way to go and how to, I guess, what the resources are that are available. But 1 to 2 weeks to see results is, for the majority of population, seems pretty encouraging.
It sounds encouraging. It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's a little suspicious. I can understand, but we have data that backs it up, and I see it a lot. So
someone could do these stretches or these things that they have this consultation with you on. They're going to be able to then do that at their house without that equipment that you were talking about and things like that.
Yep. We've gotten very creative. And actually, sometimes, again, because I'm very familiar with working in the brick and mortar setting, it's actually in some ways better because I can see exactly the height of their chair. And I can see exactly what they're going to be using to produce these forces to themselves on their body to make the change or you know, do the self-treatment instead of kind of guessing, well, do you have a chair like this at home? Yeah, I think so. And then they go home and it's not at all like it was that they thought, and it just doesn't work well. So it actually, it works a little bit better in some ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, with your practice, do you actually ever go see your patients face-to-face, or is most of it telemedicine or virtual? Or
yeah, it is fully virtual.
Okay.
Wow. I do not do house calls. Okay. If, and there are cases where people need hands-on, they need manual, we just can't substitute it. I do have a network of clinicians that are similarly trained as me, and I can look them up in the area, say they're, you know, in Northern Virginia, or I'm licensed in West Virginia, so go find a clinician in their area in West Virginia, and I would try to call that clinician and work out some kind of way for them to get in to see that clinician for the manual that they would need.
Okay.
So that's how I can go around that.
How hard is it to get someone to do preventative work like what you're talking about if they've never actually had an injury?
How's that selling point? Right. I think the only way you can kind of encourage somebody to do that is to tell them a story about somebody's pain that they've had, and say, you know, this could easily be prevented if you do some maintenance on your body. I mean, we go to the dentist and we brush our teeth twice a day, and we're supposed to floss, and that keeps us away from the dentist, right? That's how I approach it. You know, our bodies need maintenance just like we would need to keep our teeth clean to prevent gum disease and such. So,
to Josh's point there, I mean, is there something that I could go back and do with my team and, you know, hey, if backs, and I know what, like 50% of the population or more complains of back pain, right? That's a pretty common thing. So is that something that I could incorporate? You should all be doing a stretch every single day. If it's possible, you should get away from sitting desks altogether and get stand up desks. Is there any kind of things that people could start to kind of work in to be proactive?
Absolutely. And so you mentioned that your employees do a lot of kind of repetitive rotation, right? Mm-hmm. And I assume they don't change, like they don't go to a different belt and then start going from left to right. They go to right to
correct.
Left.
It's always the same. Yeah.
Yeah. So our bodies are supposed to be moving fairly symmetrical throughout the day for you. So for your particular employees, I would say that throughout their day, maybe 3 or 4 times in a day, they should twist themselves into the opposite direction that they're repeatedly going into. Just to kind of even things up. And then it sounds like they're probably doing some kind of stooped forward task where they're standing and hunched forward a little bit. Again, that's something, just a stretch can counteract anything that's going to cause them to get a little stuck or kinked, I like to say. I don't like to say out of alignment, but just a little joints can get a little bit kinked. And so a back bending type stretch is something I would recommend for a task like that, especially any, I don't know if your employees, Josh, are bending forward a bunch, even more so for a bunch of bending forward and lifting things, it's good to reverse that and do a back bend stretch where you lie on the floor and press yourself up into a cobra. That's a yoga pose, or just standing and bending backwards and stretch the spine in the direction it's not going very much in the day, and that can work wonders. As far as sitting goes, unfortunately, the Varidesks are quite expensive, I hear, but I do endorse them. Going and going back and forth from standing to sitting. You don't want to only stand all day. That can cause you different problems, cause you circulation problems, but going from sitting and standing. And then, of course, the good old posture talk when you're sitting, it's good to have your spine in a decent alignment if you're going to be sitting there for a long period of time. The other thing I recommend for people that are in a static position for a long time is just every couple of hours, do a few stretches, just some movements. Bodies are made to be moving. They're not made to be sitting still. So that would be my recommendation. And, you know, it could be very specific based on the type of movements that they do during their days.
Do you incorporate any of that? So you had said, you know, bodies are not meant to be sitting still. Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes my mind, and I'm sure Josh as well, start to go to, what are you putting in your body? How often are you maybe doing some type of exercise? So does that get incorporated into a normal video conference call with you and kind of, you know, addressing the issues?
Yeah, I do talk about their daily movements and positions. I wouldn't say that I do as much of like from a nutritional standpoint, but that's a good point. And I might think about including that, but I like to stay in my lane and in, within my scope. So it would be more things like make sure you're staying hydrated and watch the sugar and increase your protein and, you know, just kind of the basics. But
yeah, no, that's cool. That's all interesting stuff. Is PT, is the practice painful at all? Is it something that's going to cause pain before you get better?
Sometimes, based on the diagnosis. And in order to mechanically examine somebody, I do need to reproduce the pain. It's much harder to... there are times I see patients and they're like, well, I'm here and I don't have any pain. You know, so it goes, right? So... And those evaluations are much harder because, you know, it's like mechanics, right? Yeah. You take your car in and there's no jingling sound and the mechanic's like, your car's fine. You go home and it starts jingling again.
You feel
so,
like a crazy person.
Yeah, exactly. But in those situations, all I do is I teach the patient to be a self-diagnostician. I teach them, I go through their history, which is very informative to me to reach a preliminary mechanical diagnosis. And then I tell them how to do some self-diagnostic tests on their own. And I tell them that they're data collectors for me. And when I see them in a few days, we evaluate what those effects or what those test results were and what that means. So,
okay. Can we talk a little bit about just your practice? How does the patient find you? What's the first visit like? You know, what's the payment? How does that work? How's the flow work? Insurance, no insurance, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. So you can find me online.
And we'll link out to all your stuff in our show notes too.
Excellent, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So sometimes doctors are referring to me. Let's see, what else did you ask?
Process and.
We actually have a coach that's coaching us through all these little businessy getting
that's
set
great.
Up things. So I do have guidance. I'm not out in the dark. But I am still learning it all.
Every day?
Yeah.
Do you know, I know you're not necessarily a lawyer, but is there any things that maybe we would be mindful of when talking about these different topics with our teams? Maybe things that should be referred directly to somebody like yourself or somebody else inside of the network of holistic healthcare?
I would say the only thing I can think of is if you're giving your employees stretches to do, that it's well known that this is these are for maintenance and prevention and not for treating anybody's pain. And then also to explain to them that if these stretches are in any way causing pain, that they are to discontinue. I think that would be something that would keep you guys safe in the legal realm.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good one. I mean, when I first kind of started introducing a lot of this into my company, I was really big on, well, you need to just participate. And I just thought it would be the goal to the end objective of helping the people. But in reality, you never know what a lot of the underlying issues are, and you need to kind of take it within stride. So I think that's just a good kind of reminder there that
absolutely
let somebody be their own advocate, like you were talking about, and
be
their own judge.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing is pain. Pain is our natural body's alarm system. So it's a wonderful guide. If you're worried that something you're doing is going to harm you or your joint or your muscles or whatever, you listen to the pain during and after. If the activity caused you to have lingering pain, I tend to use the 30-minute rule, then it's something you should consider might not be the absolute best thing to be doing, and you need to figure out why you hurt and get it solved so you can go back to doing that thing.
What's the 30-minute rule?
Oh, after the activity, if the activity caused an increase or a production of pain, after 30 minutes after doing it, it should go back to normal. Like, you shouldn't be hurting more or in pain that you didn't have before the activity. That's gotcha. The 30-minute
okay.
rule.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Learned something new there.
I don't know if there's data, you know, kind of nationally or just in what you've seen in your practice anecdotally, but what would you say is the mix of people who have had some kind of acute injury, like a, you know, like a fall or a automobile accident or something, versus like a repetitive motion or some other, maybe a sports injury kind of thing that you're treating?
Well, I'm going to have to go back to just my years of experience. I would say maybe 3 out of 4 is more of a chronic issue, and 1 out of 4 is like an injury. An acute traumatic event happened.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then do you find, so far, do you find any results difference between age groups or any other demographic characteristics that you're finding as far as getting results, better results out of your patients? I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. Honestly.
If you're willing to say.
No. Yeah. Absolutely.
Men are terrible.
No. Honestly, no. Age does not seem to be a big factor.
Okay.
I think a lot of people might be surprised by that. People, poor Arthur. He gets so much blame. Arthritis is yeah. what I'm saying. Poor Arthur. He gets blamed for so many things that is not his fault. So people come into me telling me that their pain's arthritis. And I say, okay, let's make sure the mechanical exam is telling us that your pain is actually from your arthritis. And I'm not saying they don't have it, but is it from the arthritis? And the way I know, I cannot fix arthritis. So if I can lead them to getting better, it's not from arthritis, because I just can't fix that. It's a bony problem that, you know, I can't fix. So if the pain goes away, it can't be from arthritis. And pain often does go away. Not always, but so anyways, age is not a big factor. Let's see, you said between men and women.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, you can say or not. Okay,
no good. Difference.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, I am a man, so I'm hard-headed, and I know most men are.
Yeah, so. Yeah. No, that, I can get through hard head sometimes.
Well, I think the difference there between like some of the stuff that we talk about with nutrition and, you know, having a cold or something like that, you know, no man is going to say that that's going to knock them down. But when something hurts, like if your back hurts, I mean, I've had, you know, back pain for years, or something just doesn't, I think you then become way more motivated to get
absolutely.
Rid of it.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's where you kind of use their hard-headedness, or you tackle the hard-headedness if it's some kind of barrier, and you use what's most important to them, right? The things they can't do that they want to do. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And which is the ultimate goal. That's what it's all about. It's not about anything else. It's getting them to feel better and confident that they can do again. Yeah.
Are you having to be pretty creative? You mentioned earlier, I was just thinking like every house is going to have a different set of chairs, different table. They're going to have different access to different stuff. So do you find yourself like learning new stuff kind of on the fly or inventing things as you go?
Yes. Absolutely. I had a guy this morning who needed a little bit of overpressure on his spine, and I saw his son running by, and I said, that child is about 6 or 7, isn't he? And he's like, yeah. Like, bring him over and have him sit on you and to give him the overpressure. So, yeah, we do. We get creative, and it's fun. I really enjoy that part of it. Yeah.
I think that's cool too, and that's those takeaways that hopefully are invaluable to people that, hey, I just needed something about this amount of weight to put it on my spine. Mm-hmm. My wife can then do it, or my son can do it in the future as he gets older.
Absolutely.
So that's really cool and kind of, again, the whole purpose of what we're trying to do here is teach some proactive measures and easily things that are at our fingertips, as opposed to just running to get the easiest, quickest fix, maybe.
That's absolutely right. That's fixed. That's definitely the patient population I am trying to reach. If you want to learn how to get yourself better, and then, you know, learn the tools. I want to give you the tools. I don't want to be the tool. I'm your girl.
Is there any ways or thoughts or ways that you have to break some of the stigmas down, or the just kind of, you know, a little bit more of an alternative approach, as opposed to, like I had just given my example before we started recording about an injury to my arm, was go get a prescription, and that's what I was given. Mm-hmm. No other recommendations. I mean, if I was more, I didn't take it. I don't want that. I know what the damages are to my body, and it's pain, again, is natural. It's supposed to be happening. So is there a way to maybe talk to somebody that would have been more to, oh, I need to take this prescription. I need to just take this, as opposed to you need to just find a sun and sit on your arm, or maybe your other arm needs to sit in, and then you won't remember the pain.
Hang your other arm.
That's right. Hurt your other arm.
Absolutely. There's, it's so case by case, right? Mm-hmm. It depends on what that kind of, I might call it a barrier, or, just a patient engagement situation. So, if somebody really is hoping that the medication will work, I talk to them about, okay, well, let's think about the expectations of the medication, and, what this medication, if it's going to help you, at what point do you decide it is or not? And if it's not helping you, you'll know by the such and such date. So let's say your doctor gave you some steroids. They often give a medrol dose pack, which is a tapered prednisone, which is 6 pills, 5 pills, and all the way down. So you get 5 days of it. So if your problem is inflammation in nature that needs a big dose of steroids, by day 5, you should feel significantly better. And if you don't, you should stop taking that medication. And I think a lot of people kind of like agree with that, or eventually, or appreciate the okay, when do I decide, yes, this is working, no, this is not, at what point? And so that's kind of the conversation I have there.
I like that. Yeah, that's good and easy to wrap your head.
Yeah, it's just all about outcomes, right? I mean, what's your expected outcome? People often ask me, well, what do you think about chiropractors? What a loaded question, right? So I don't think anything about the profession. I think about the person delivering the care. Is the person telling you that you need 8 months of chiropractic for 3 weeks and thousands of dollars later? I have a problem with that. That's just not what people need. They're either going to get better or they're not, and we shouldn't continue to treat them. I don't really believe people need manual maintenance. I think they need maintenance, but I think they can do it on their own. I don't think they can. So, it's all about outcomes. Are you, you know, let's talk about what should your outcome expectations be, and are they met?
I think that goes back to your mechanical process. You can tell that's it all links back together.
And that is, that's what does, it does make me different in the type of physical therapy that I am trained in. It is called mechanical diagnosis and therapy. And we heavily look at outcomes. I mean, every session, my sessions are not treatments. They're evaluations, every single one of them. They're evaluations. We are titrating the exact exercise. Is this the right exercise? If it is, how can we make it a little bit better? You know, is it working, but we need your son to sit on you to do it? Okay, to get you better faster, right? So it's all about every visit. I track outcomes, and it goes into a database. I forgot to mention this about in the beginning about part of my training. I recently became certified in outcomes accountable care. And this is a group called Integrated Musculoskeletal Care down in Florida created this certification course because they had been tracking outcomes since 2007 on this patient outcomes on this method that we use. And they basically had over tracking data over time created this treatment algorithm that basically gets patients, streamlines them to the treatment that they need faster. And so then they created a certification course. So I took that, and now I pay them to track my patients' outcomes and compare them to their outcome benchmarks okay. that they've established. And if my patients' outcomes are not meeting these benchmarks, they give me advice and help on these patients. It's really cool. There's nothing else like that that I know of. And it's just, it gives me confidence to treat people because if I get stuck with somebody, I've got a little bit of backup and these patients are going to get, you know, the care they need without wasting time and money.
Yeah. Yeah. You just described one. I think one of the biggest problems with our entire medical system is it's not outcomes based. It's just treatment based.
Yeah.
You know, someone presents with these symptoms and here's the standard of care. And then you send them packing. You really don't know what the outcomes are a lot of times.
The only way to know is to track them.
Yeah. And we don't do that.
No.
So that's, or if they die.
Yeah.
And that's really, that's the only time we ever track anything, unfortunately. That's fascinating. That's really interesting to me that they have that.
Yeah.
That's set up for you like that.
And what they did, you guys might find this interesting because of your the businesses that you own, but down in Florida, what they really designed this algorithm treatment for is they've gone to big companies. Like they're in with Michelin. I can't think of the others, but big companies. And they have told these business the CEOs, if you send your injured employees to one of our mechanical therapists first, we will save you guaranteed 25% on their medical costs. Mm-hmm. And they actually end up saving them 50% because they screen them properly. They mechanically diagnose them and they cut out a ton of need for MRIs. They cut out a ton of need for x-rays, medication, and they save a lot of people from surgeries.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, because workers' comp is huge. I mean, it's a crazy expense.
And absolutely.
Yeah, we've struggled for a number of years and we finally got it back to where it's in the proper alignment. But you know, I hate that when somebody gets hurt, it's like it's totally out of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the hands of an adjuster for the workers' comp and then working with their doctor
system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we've totally lost control. And then you know it's going to be X number of weeks before they can come back to work. And then it might be a light duty assignment, which depending on your profession, it's not always even possible to fill or it's very tough.
I can't imagine.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Okay. Well, if you want to learn more about his company, it is Integrated Musculoskeletal Care.
Yeah.
Mark Miller and gosh, the other man's name, the other co-owner's name last name is Cook. But if you go to their website, I think their website is designed for you guys, not really okay. for clinicians or patients. It's more for an employee that wants to save money on their employee's medical costs. And they, like I said, they guarantee 25% savings, but they really typically, apparently save them 50%.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you as a member in that group then could get a referral from a business that has an injured worker or would you ever get a referral from a workers' comp carrier?
Yes. I have signed a contract with them, but okay. I would be a contracted PT. They have their own PTs. And at this point they have enough PTs to fill their cases. If they needed me, they could absolutely send me somebody. Because again, I'm trained in the same exact way that they require all their PTs to be trained in that way and okay. using their algorithm, of course, right? Mm-hmm. That's the only way they can get their excellent outcomes is if you're following their algorithm. And they gave the algorithm training free, which again, it was really excellent training, 20 plus hours of content, and they gave it away for free just because they know how valuable this stuff is, and they just really want to get people better and get them out of this medical system of medications that people don't need and whatnot.
That's fascinating. I mean, it really is to me because we've seen it over the years with people that get hurt and how long it takes for them to come back. And sometimes, you know, they'll come tell you. We have small businesses, so we know our employees very well. and they'll come by and be like, I'm ready to come back to work, but they're not released. You know, they're not allowed to. Mm-hmm. We can't have them on the premises because they're going to violate the workers' comp agreement. So that, to me, that's fascinating.
It is, because it also just destroys so much behind the scenes that you probably don't even know as much about. The wife now has to stay home because her kid can't go to daycare, whatever different Absolutely. Things that then start to get, and it's the whole system gets thrown out of whack just because of one proper door that we entered instead of going to maybe the option to the left, we went to the perceived correct mm-hmm. option to the right. So it's very, very fun and interesting to keep talking about.
Yeah.
I had one more question about process, because that's kind of where my head always goes, but. So when somebody is your each visit, it's its own thing, because I guess you get started with somebody, you might not know if they need 4 visits or 10 visits or whatever. So when somebody signs up with you, do they just I don't want to get what your dollars are, but what do they pay you each time, and is it a set amount of hours or half hour, or how does that work?
Yeah. So, I do, well, first of all, I do like to just briefly chat with somebody and make sure that I'm a good fit, because I don't want to take anybody's money that isn't going to be a good fit. So then I have 2 pricing structures. I've got a package plan, which is 6 weeks of unlimited visits. At this point, my pricing for that is $600. Mm-hmm. So, And I do, based on the initial conversation, I can try my best to give them an idea as to how many visits. I mean, if we're looking at, if I'm thinking they're going to get better in like 2 or 3 visits, I might steer them towards the fee for service pricing, which the initial evaluation is $150 and the follow-ups are $100. I tend to average around 6 visits. Again, that's an average. I can't mm-hmm. ever promise. And so the 6 weeks is unlimited visits, and the duration is anywhere from I might need to see you for 15 minutes. I might need to see you for 45, but it doesn't matter because everything has already been paid for.
Right.
I don't charge a cancellation fee if something pops up and you can't make it. That you don't have to worry about that. Of course, we want to reschedule so we're on track with your treatment. And then after the 6 weeks is done, I schedule 4 follow-ups for the next 12 months, so the next year.
Okay.
And those follow-ups are kind of check-ins, some maintenance to make sure that you're following the maintenance and prevention that I give you, and troubleshoot any flares or anything that you're having. So that's included in the 6 weeks package deal. But for anybody's treatment, I am available by text message or email in between sessions, and I really encourage people to do that, because again, if there's something simple that I can answer that makes a big difference, so that we don't waste any time. That's my preference.
Right.
So, did that answer that question?
Yeah, that's the huge difference.
Yes.
You go to the doctor and you see somebody completely different next week, and it's so hard to try to kind of get to know that person and get to the aspect of intimacy, kind of knowing you have a 6-year-old son that's 60 pounds we need to put on your back and
right.
start to solve the problem.
Exactly.
So it's just so completely kind of polar opposite of what we've all
Absolutely.
Come accustomed to, so it's cool.
And after the first couple sessions, the patient is a self-diagnostician. So they're speaking the same language as me, and all I need to do is tell them, okay, I might send them a picture. Okay, this is what you're going to do, and this is how you're going to test it. Let me know what happens tomorrow. Just text me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's why going cash-based is so important, and not being in network with insurance for me. Because that just gives me the freedom to not have to see 2-3 patients an hour,
mm-hmm.
To make the ends meet.
Yeah.
So that is, if anybody is wondering why I did not get in network with insurance, that is why, and I will not get in network with insurance. Mm-hmm. So They dictate how care is supposed to be delivered, and patients deserve better than that. So not doing it.
good ending point. That's a good accurate statement.
You couldn't have said it. I couldn't have said it any better.
I like it.
Beautiful. Yeah, having never worked in healthcare, but just being on the other side of it, observing it as a business owner, dealing with annual renewals and all this kind of stuff, and you ask all these questions, and nothing seems to make sense sometimes, and it's
never.
You basically just described what it's like that.
It's so frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you for what you've started, and thank you for your time coming out to visit with us and share your story with us. We do appreciate it.
Well, greatly. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
I'll make sure that all of your contact information, everything's in our show notes that we share out, and I'll share out the other stuff with the team in Florida.
Excellent.
As well, because that's really interesting to me.
Excellent.
And David and I are better educated to ask when we come up for our renewals, hey, how do I make sure that our comp carrier is using these guys, because I hear they have better outcomes.
Absolutely.
So,
love it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming along with us for another episode of the Healthy Team, Healthy Business podcast. We'd love for you to follow us on Instagram at Healthy Team, Healthy Biz. That's BIZ. You can also find us on Facebook under the same name. You're welcome to send us a message on either one of those applications, or you can send us an email directly at teamdudes@healthyteamhealthybusiness.net. We'd love to hear your feedback and requests you might have for topics or guests. Please feel free to send them our way. If you would take the time to give us a rating or a feedback on your favorite podcast app, that would also be much appreciated and quite helpful. Thanks again for following along and sharing your passion for health with all of us.